Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm very pleased to be joined this afternoon by a very special guest, Clara, who is a neighbor of the monastery, has lived up from the monastery road her entire life, actually. She's an eighth grade student, and for her eighth grade project, she chose a really fabulous topic and took it even one step further than the rest of her classmates and is using it to raise money for the children in Africa. And she's joining us this evening to tell us about the project. So welcome, Clara.
Hi, Jen.
How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I'm so excited that you're here with us tonight.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for having me.
You're most welcome. So I thought we might start at the beginning, and maybe you could just tell us what was the assignment that you guys were given?
At my school, Sierra Waldorf, in eighth grade, we're given an eighth grade project, which is pretty heavy. Like hands-on.
Okay.
And we have to choose a mentor. I chose Sister Terry Davis.
Okay. Who has
and I worked with her for
been with us. I'll just quickly tell folks that Sister Terry Davis was on the very first trip that we all took to Africa many, many years ago when we went to Zimbabwe.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So I worked on her with her for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And along the way, I decided to make a calendar after I sort of made something out of scratch.
Okay. So what was she teaching you?
She's teaching me calligraphy, which is fancy writing.
Very fancy writing.
Yeah, challenging.
Quite challenging, yeah. I'm just curious, how did you choose calligraphy? How did it occur to you?
Well, originally for my eighth grade project, I wanted to do Eastern calligraphy because I thought it looked really nice.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, we couldn't find a mentor for that, so I chose Sister Terry because that was the closest thing to Eastern calligraphy.
Uh-huh. Great.
So, yeah, it's
okay.
Western calligraphy.
And so you spent 6 months seeing her.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And you would go and kind of just each time learn more and more about calligraphy.
Mm-hmm. And I would practice for about 10 minutes a day and then worked up to about 30.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so quite time-consuming.
Quite time-consuming, but I remember, so I got to go to an event on, what was that? I don't know, last week sometime, Wednesday night, where I got to see you and all of your classmates present your project, and one of the things I was struck by was how much everyone said they had so much fun doing it.
Yeah, this was really fun.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. It was challenging at first, but it got fun in the end.
Yeah, which is so often how things are, isn't it, that they're... At first, it feels like, gosh, this is so hard, but then it really gets quite fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Huh. So then you said at some point you decided you wanted to make a calendar.
Mm-hmm, the calendar, and I used quotes from the book Sherry wrote called Transforming Your Life.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I thought that was really cool to look at, inspiring.
Yeah. So tell me the process of choosing the quotes, because I was really struck by the ones you chose.
I sort of flipped through the book at first, and then I started reading them, all of them.
Wow.
And just chose the ones that really struck me and looked cool, and
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah. So the ones that really stood out, and you said a minute ago, that were inspiring for you.
Yes, definitely.
Uh-huh, yeah. And then you wrote them on watercolors.
Yep, most of them I painted from kindergarten, except for about four.
And I was so struck that you had them since kindergarten.
Yeah, I love saving things.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did you keep them all that time?
Just under my bed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that so fun? So you knew one day you would have a use for it, and you were right.
Yeah. It's fun.
It is fun. And so then you took the watercolors that are about, I don't know, they're close to a normal 8.5 piece of paper. And then you wrote the quotes in quite big calligraphy. I mean,
yeah.
It takes up a lot of the page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very tricky, so I decided to use the big ones because it's easier with my hand, I guess.
Oh, is it? To do the bigger than the smaller print?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It looks really easy. It's not.
I can imagine. It's one of those things where you think, oh, sure, I can do that. And then
uh-huh.
You sit down to do it. And, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I decided to choose Living Compassion. And, yeah, growing up with you guys, it just seemed like the right thing to do.
Uh-huh. So how did that occur to you? I mean, what was that process?
Well, I think I've always wanted to help the world in some way, and growing up with you guys, attending the Bridge Walk and everything, and especially meeting Teresa from Africa.
Yeah.
It was really inspiring, and yeah, my mom threw out the idea that you guys could, well, I could help you guys, so I decided, okay, I'll do that.
So that's really fun, Claire. So you remember meeting Teresa when she came here in 2008?
Yeah.
Wow, so you were, what, like 8 then, huh?
Yeah, I think I was probably 8.
Oh.
Yeah, I was 8.
That was really fun. That's right, because you didn't just meet her at the Bridge Walk. I'm sure you got to see her here, didn't you?
Yeah, we greeted her with those bells or whatever
that's
it was.
Right. That's right. That day when she drove in, we drove her in from the airport from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And you were all lining the driveway, ringing bells, welcoming her. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
That is really fun. And so then you just had the idea. So you're making the calendar and you're going to produce it, right?
Yep, I'm producing it right now.
Wow. Yeah.
And so they'll probably be on Songo Market. We're hoping to get them up there maybe in a week or so.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Great. And so are they $25? Is that
yes, right? $25.
Okay, which is a complete bargain. As I say, I've seen it and it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. Every month has a beautiful watercolor and an amazing quote from Transform Your Life. And
yeah.
In this hand-done calligraphy, it's amazing. And then the proceeds, above paying for the printing of the calendar, are going to the children in Cantalumba.
Mm-hmm.
That is so fun.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And I've sold about 35, and my goal is probably 50 to raise $500 for Africa, which would be really nice.
Oh, my gosh. $500 for Africa. And I don't know how much you get to see the website, but you should really hop on there and see. $500
yeah.
is going to make a huge difference in the lives of so many children in Cantalumba.
Yeah, I'm so happy.
It's kind of a win-win, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
You get to have fun doing it. They get to eat. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, Claire, anything else about it that you wanted to tell us?
I think this is just about it.
Okay. All right. It's a really fun story. I was telling folks, actually on one of the other radio shows, so we have 2 radio shows in the week, and the Thursday radio show, I don't know if your mom has told you, but the whole theme of it this last year has been learning to love learning.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It's really cool. And we basically did exactly what you guys did, where everyone just looked to see, okay, well, what's something that I would really enjoy learning?
Yeah.
And like one of the things I've been doing is learning how to play the flute.
And that's really cool.
We've been getting together weekly and supporting each other in that endeavor. And I was telling folks on that show that I had such a nice time at the event at your school because it was so fun for me to see all of these young people who were so willing to work hard, and everyone had a beautiful outcome. You know,
yeah.
I was looking at that calendar, and it was beautiful, and then there was that wooden chest, and
yeah.
Girl who made the chocolate from the seeds to the, and then made a boat, and I mean, it was just so inspiring.
Yeah.
And it seemed like everyone had a ton of fun.
Definitely, yeah.
Was it
and
fun?
They displayed them very well.
They did display them very well. And I'll bet that was fun for each of you to see each other's projects, huh?
Mm-hmm, yeah. I was really excited because I hadn't seen them either.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So that was really the first time you each got to see each other's projects.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's great. Well, Clara, I'm really so happy that you got to be with us this evening, and thank you so much for the really hard work you're doing and for your thoughtfulness in giving the proceeds to the children in Cantalumba.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me here.
You're most welcome. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Clara. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
That was a almost hurt myself grinning experience.
Yes.
Wasn't that amazing? Oh,
yeah.
My goodness gracious. What a charmer.
Yes.
So fun for us because, you know, we've known her since she was a baby.
Yes.
Yeah, these young people growing up,
yes.
Doing what it's taken us decades to get around to doing. They're kind of,
I knew as soon as Jen introduced her that I was going to be melting during that conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so great. I can't wait to see that calendar. She's sold 36 now because I got
37.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope the Sangha who doesn't have their calendar lined up will avail themselves. And of course, if people need to, June's actually created a little downloadable calendar from the new book. Which is fun. So they can have Clara's at your it's somewhere in the house, and then you can have this other one in the office or vice versa. I can't have too many calendars. I can't anyway.
Is June's calendar on Sangha Market as well?
I think it is. I don't know if it's up there yet, but it's it might actually be at Keep It Simple.
Great. Great.
Yes, yes.
Possibilities.
And so those of us who want to do our holiday shopping early, we're getting some good ideas.
Yes. And Sangha Market is a good place to start.
It is, yeah, yeah. You have some reminders for us?
I do. The last at-home retreat of this year will be Saturday, December 14th. And by popular demand, the retreat will focus on working meditation, bringing practice into home or work projects.
Yes, getting ready for the holidays. We can in our own home, we can do a retreat, taking care of the things that we don't seem to get around to taking care of. And we can do it in a conscious, mindful, enjoyable sort of way. What a deal.
What a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the holidays, you'll be offering a workshop, Sherry, this Sunday, December 1st in Los Altos about what we really want for the holidays.
Mm-hmm. I found out, Michael, that I probably picked the worst day of the entire year. Unless I'd gone with something like Christmas Day, that would have probably been a worse choice. But we're going to be there anyway, aren't we? And and have a good time. So, yeah, what we really want for the holidays.
Great, great. And
then after we get through that, what happens?
Well, there's a New Year's retreat.
Ah.
Yes.
Yes, our standard fabulous.
Yes, indeed, at Santa Sabina. Returning to Santa Sabina.
Returning to Santa Sabina. Now, last year's retreat was very nice, very, very nice. But I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to being inside.
Yes.
Do you know?
Yes.
There's just something about all of us being there in that beautiful building and in that beautiful nature and that sort of thing that's very special. So it's like a little homecoming for us to go back
yes.
to. Return to Santa Sabina.
Great, great.
Mm-hmm.
And finally,
for all the good stuff, right? I mean, good food, good meditation, great workshops. We have a really exciting theme for this workshop this year. I mean, a series of workshops this year. And, of course, the yoga that we always have. And it'll be good.
And I think we
do have a few spots left, and truly it is a few spots left at this point. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And the last guidance day this year is Saturday, December 7th.
Ooh. Memorable day.
Yes. All of this and more at schedule.livingcompassion.org. Our call in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And then you'd enter your PIN followed by pound. And a reminder to focus on one topic in about 5 minutes. Okay, here we go.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet. How
Hi.
Are you?
I'm doing good. I was not expecting to be the first one on.
There, it's good. You have this Zen practice that you can now put in play because you're right there in the moment, ready for whatever comes at you.
Ready, ready. And what I wanted to talk about was adventure.
Oh.
Yes. So first I wanted to just say the email class was just fantastic.
Kind
Everything
of a stunner,
was the Buddha.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. What?
Kind of a stunner.
Yes. It was really, really good. And then your extended present. For people that didn't know, you added on a 14 days, an additional 14 days of recording and listening practice questions that come to your email first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And
fun, huh?
Every day it's a different topic. And really, really fun. So you don't know what
good.
The topic's going to be. And then you open it up. And so there's some questions. Today was about adventure. You know, asking.
Yeah, tell us about it, okay?
Yeah, so one of the questions was, you know, to look inside and see what, you know, like what your definition of adventure is. Are adventuresome? Are you adventurous? You know, what do you term as adventurous? You know, have you ever looked at a painful experience as an adventure? You know, things like that. And I wanted to tell you that I have been going through a little bit of a, I want to call it a rough patch, but something coming up that it was such a treat for me to stop this morning and say, oh my gosh, I have the choice to look at this as an adventure.
Ah, oh, wonderful.
And then to record about that, because conditioning story is that there is no adventure in this, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's like not a good thing. But to have that opportunity and to have that reminder was just really powerful.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So
good.
That was really fun. And then later on in the afternoon, I got an email to do something that was very surprising and just kind of out of the ballpark and nothing I was expecting. And and so then the other question, am I adventurous? Well, yes, I am.
And I'm going to say yes to this.
Yeah, I have no idea where this is going to go or what it's going to be. And, you know, conditioning was like, well, you got to ask all these questions and da, da, da. And I was like, no, I don't. And then it was fun. It was like, oh, I'm adventurous. Yeah. So I just wanted to say that's really fun. I really enjoy having the topic, you know,
and it is simple.
Very simple. And so simple, and that it comes up. Like the first day was about laughter, you know, and then yesterday was about stories, but I just really appreciate that. And I was listening to an archive from last week, the radio show, and somebody was talking about, you know, recordings from retreats. And I also have to chime in that any recordings that I have from retreats are just so powerful to listen to again and again.
So you're on retreat and you're making recordings about
yes.
your experience on retreat. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Takes you right back there.
But yes.
Brings you right here, however we want to think about it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
a really good tip.
That's exactly it. So for anybody thinking of going on retreat, it's like, yes, go on retreat because you're going to have amazing recordings, for one thing, that you're going to listen to for you know, you have the opportunity to listen to over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I've said, I don't know if I've said it on this show, but I've said it often, that email class, I feel like we're hitting kind of a tipping point with recording and listening, that people really are getting that conditioning is lying through its imaginary little teeth, that it's fun. It's supportive and inspiring, and it's just a really, really good time. You know, it's finally having the kind of company that we've always wished for. You know, somebody who wants to. Yeah, I was talking with somebody just yesterday, as a matter of fact, who made the point that with recording and listening, so, you know, you have a fabulous insight, and you really, it's really moved you, and you're just lit up and inspired, and you try to tell somebody. And as hard as they try, they just can't get there. Because that's how it works. You know, we just it's your experience. But if you tell it to me, unless I have the exact same experience, and I'm still going to go to my experience, I'm not going to go to yours, there's just this kind of letdown feeling that can happen. But when it's the recorder, you know, you're talking to somebody who knows exactly the experience that you're talking about. And when
yes.
you hear it coming back the next time, it compounds it in some very positive way. But the person who's saying it, the person who's listening to it, both know the experience, and it just takes you to a whole new level with whatever that insider experience was. There's nothing like it.
No, there isn't. And also the place where conditioning will say, oh, you know, you'll remember this.
Right.
You know, and I don't know about anybody else, but I don't.
No.
You know, it's fleeting. It disappears.
That's why it says it, because it knows darn well. We're not going to remember. Or write it down. Right? Oh yeah, like I'm going to read that again. What lifetime is that going to happen in? But
yes.
Recording and listening, you know, you're in the car, and it's just a drive. And as much as everybody would like to say, oh, well, it's a perfect time to practice mindfulness, yeah. And then the hand goes over to the radio, and we're lost in NPR land or whatever. But there's the recorder, and you can, during that time, listen to these inspiring things that bring you back to the present. Or you're going for a walk, or you're cleaning.
Yeah, walking my dog.
Walking the dog, yeah.
Yeah.
Doing chores. And there you have this fabulous company, this marvelous companion who understands your life experience intimately. And once, here's the part I like best, wants to listen to you forever. No, most of us have noticed that other people at a certain point begin to, you know, their eyes begin to glaze over.
Yeah, right.
But that little recording never gets tired.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the added 14 days. I really do, because I feel exactly the same way as you do. It was like there was really this momentum with, you know, and what are you, and well, especially with you. Well, what are you, you know, are you recording that? Are you listening? Are you, you know, and it was like,
I'm a good
really,
nag, aren't
this,
I?
Yeah, it was like this time, it was like, okay, well, that's what's going on,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
like you're getting this insight,
all,
but do you have it down?
Right. It thrills me to death that you've seen this. I happen to know you're going to remember it for about 10 seconds if you don't get it on that recorder. So,
yeah,
after a while, I kind of felt bad hitting people over the head quite so hard. But, you know, it's that important.
Yeah.
So, actually, the 14 days wasn't my idea. It was June's idea. And she said, you know, I need for this not to end. So I would like to suggest for us, because she said, I need the support, and I don't think I'm alone in that. And
no, definitely not. I loved it, and I think it's just really fun. So a thank you to June.
Yeah, Yeah. I'm right there. I love the simplicity of it, the straightforward. It's easy. You know, there's no, well, what shall I record about? Oh,
yes,
we've all
exactly.
had an experience of laughter. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. So anyway, thank you so much for everything.
You are so welcome. Happy
and I'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
Okay.
I'll look forward to it. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I am very excited that the email class is continuing as well. It's great.
And this is, you know, we're going to, I can't remember, the 19th or 20th of January or something like that when we do our next big video launch of 2014. And that this kind of support is going to be one of the big focuses, foci, for 2014. So that everybody who has the slightest interest can get over that hump of resistance that resistance keeps putting in front of us, and get to have this unbelievable experience.
Wonderful, great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're gonna break now and hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The year of deepening practice has produced a new support opportunity for people of all levels of practice. A team of Zen awareness coaches guided by Sherry Huber, who offer individual coaching to support awareness practice. This coaching program is designed to help strengthen the inner voice of self-compassion and peace, and places a special emphasis on recording and listening. Whether you're brand new or a long-timer, awareness coaching can be the extra support your heart desires. As the Buddha said, we must each work out our own salvation diligently. Zen awareness coaches can assist you wherever you are in your practice. For more information, visit sanghamarket.com. Look for the Little Zen Monk under the Services section. These services are offered with loving kindness to support those wishing to deepen their practice.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Scott from Denver.
Hey, Scott.
Hi.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Great topics. I love adventure, and then I think what I kept projecting onto Claire is just fun and like openness, like a lightness.
Yes.
Yeah, and so that's the kind of attitude of mind I want to take forward into typically, you know, conditioned mind, weighty types of things. And so I wanted to kind of have that attitude and maybe have you help me with my main karma, which is about, quote, other people in relationship with me. And I've just been practicing taking back, well, instead of sort of reacting like I'm kind of at the center of the universe and I'm going to die if I make the wrong decision and all that, just taking that much broader step back perspective.
Mm-hmm. And what does that look like, Scott?
Well, I guess often it looks like kind of the choice between putting my attention on conditioned mind or putting my attention on life. And seeing this karma about staying in a relationship or leaving a relationship as really the opportunity to wake up and end suffering.
I'm going to project because there's so much suffering.
There's so much suffering.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, that's when we usually get to that conclusion. It's like, okay, I really got to address this because I can't take it.
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what's been sort of fascinating. It feels like all the things that I learned about, you know, what getting married means and who you pick and why and what it means and how to be happy, it just feels like none of that really means anything or none of it was really true. And because I just keep looking and going, I'm not sure how I got here. I don't quite feel like I chose this. It feels like there's some sort of momentum going on. I don't really know why I'm here, but I keep staying in this relationship, and it seems like there must be good, well, I don't know if there must be a good reason, but I'm choosing to see it as a good reason to see how I cause myself to suffer, maybe there really is no other person over there, and this is all projection, and a lot of it with my fiance, with Susie, is my relationship with conditioning, maybe having nothing to do with her, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you make a couple of really good points. One is, at a certain place in our lives, we get it that I could keep doing the same thing I've always done, and I will, in fact, get the same result I've always gotten. And
right.
I'm not happy with that result, and therefore, so if the karma is to get to a place of discomfort and bail, then I know that I can spend the rest of my life doing that. But we begin to suspect that, as you say, maybe it's not the other person, because
mm-hmm.
you know, the old cliche, I'm the only constant in this equation. So
mm-hmm.
I keep doing the same thing with different people. So we've kind of narrowed it down here. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, it doesn't actually mean that I've found the right person, I haven't found the right person, this
right.
is going to work, it's not going to work. That's not the point.
Right.
The point is,
mm-hmm.
what the heck is going on with me?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it loves to kind of engage me in that, is the right person, not the right person, and boy, it doesn't make sense why you're with this person, da 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 da. But it does kind of feel like the commitment to marriage is really a commitment to, like, not move and to stay right here and to see how it all works. So,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like a tethering to Susie is sort of like or committing to Susie is like, I'm not going to move. I'm going to be the person that stands right here with my attention, and then I can watch how everything else moves around.
Oh, that's a very, very, very good image, isn't it? Because as long as karmic conditioning can keep us on the move in reaction to it, then
right.
it really does have the upper hand.
I mean, does that make sense? Because nothing else about this relationship really makes sense to me except, all this unhappiness. It's like, well, it just seems like, right, like you said, like leaving and going to find something else, I don't really have a sense I'll be happier. And that's the opportunity.
Right?
Because I have intent.
Yeah, so that's what's the clue. You know, when we're 18 or 19, then people will say, well, you know, don't commit yourself so soon because, you know, there are lots of people out there, all the fish in the sea kinds of images. But at a certain point, we've had enough relationships, enough jobs, enough houses, cities, whatever it is, that we begin to see the patterns and again, close in on the, maybe this is about me part of it. It keeps occurring to say this to you, and I don't know if I have before, if I have, forgive me, I'm not actually becoming senile. I've always been exactly this way. Well, since then, practice. It's not a good recommendation for it, but it is relaxing. I read at one point this fellow gave his son this advice. He said, when you get married, find the person that you would be willing to be in a motel room with no air conditioning and four children.
Mm-hmm.
When you find that person, that's the one you want to commit your life to because that's what it's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a fascinating, kind of a fascinating picture of that commitment. You know, when it kind of gets as bad as it can get for us, is this the person we want next to us? Know, sharing that experience with us. So I don't know if that's helpful or not helpful, but
I have heard that from you before, not surprisingly. And but really, who's the other person? I mean, it still just feels like it just sort of always feels like I said before that I'm either choosing to put my attention on conditioning or on life, and I guess does it really matter who the other person is?
Well, on a certain level, no, it doesn't. With the kind of commitment that you're talking about, probably not. It probably doesn't. That's that thing where we, you know, say you could be in relationship with anybody if what you want to do is confront everything that is going to arise in you in relationship.
Yeah.
And if that's the goal, then it's true. It could be anybody.
Well, that's the only way this makes sense to me, and that is what I want to do. I want to confront mm-hmm. everything that arises in me in relationship.
Then that really does kind of answer the question, doesn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that you've talked to me about before was Imago therapy, and we actually did that. And so the other thing about waking up and ending suffering, I know that the shortcut is to learn to direct the attention to life, and it seems like Imago talks about kind of the old brain, you know, you're attracted to people who have both the positive and negative aspects of your parents, and that there's really an opportunity to heal our wounds, which seems really beneficial, because if those wounds are healed, then conditioning has much less to attack.
Yes, yes. And with that, there's no encouragement toward passivity.
Say more about that?
Well, it's just that when we hear this kind of thing, it can start to smack of, so if you're the right spiritual person, you could stay in any situation and be all right. Okay? Which is true. That is absolutely true. But when it's presented as a contest, then that's something that we want to avoid. So, yes, you can face everything that arises in you, and that doesn't mean that you are not obligated to care for the human being, the incarnation that we call Scott.
Yeah, you know, that is the thing it does to me. Well, you should just be happy no matter what. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And someday you probably will be, but right now maybe not. And so it's much more, that's why I said it's not passive at all. It's very, very active to be in that that place of what is most compassionate to all in this moment. And in this moment, it might be saying, not my preference, but I'm choosing unconditional love. And in another moment, it might be, you know, I know it's not going to make you happy, but this is really important to me, and this is the choice that I'm going to make for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because otherwise, it's just such a setup for us to perpetuate the karma on the other side of the duality.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what goes on. And it seems like asking that question, what is most compassionate for all, turns our attention to life. And then,
yes,
you know, my experience of that, then the answer of what to do is clear.
Yes, and the hardest part for us to stay with is, I'm included in all, you're included in all, she's included in all. You know, all God's children are included in the all. And there are actually no preferences in that place that is most compassionate for all. And the place that's most compassionate for all doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to be happy there.
Right. And that doesn't really matter.
No. What we begin to get is it's way more complex than conditioning would want us to believe. You know, you just get a set of rules, follow those rules, everything will be all right. Nope, that's conditioning's reality. That's not life's reality. Clearly, when we look around at what's going on in life, clearly life is not choosing to follow a set of rules in order to make nice with everybody.
Yeah, well, I was just seeing how important or how grateful I am for Sangha, for a community, because it would be really easy to go into a conversation with conditioning about rules, and maybe yeah. I read a spiritual book or listened to the radio show, and now I'm off on my own, and it's got me. But keep bumping up, you know, against that when we're in community. It's
yes.
like, oh, right, it's always changing. It's always evolving. It's always new.
Yes.
There is no such thing as a set of rules.
That's exactly right. That's exactly yeah. it. Yeah, not if we want to be free. Rules
yeah, right.
are rules support a desire to be in bondage, and of course that's where karmic conditioning wants us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
well, great. Thanks.
Let's stay in conversation, huh?
Exactly. Thank you so much
okay.
for this opportunity.
Yeah. Thanks. Good night, Scott.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Scott. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we have more callers here.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Michael and Sherry. This is Nancy in Maryland.
Hi.
Well, hello, Nancy. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you. Lots of opportunities to practice. The reason I called, I mean, the topic I have tonight, it's night here, not afternoon, anyway, is money, because you had asked me, Sherry, in the email class to practice with recording and listening around money and give you a progress report or let you know how it's going. This is certainly a work in progress. It took years to condition me to suffer around money. It may take a little while to undo that, but I'm working at it.
Good, good, good.
You know, like the earlier caller, I'm doing the email class, and I love having the extra 14 days with this approach. So one of the things I'm doing is, okay, what I'm doing with money and learning about better how to manage it and do what I need to do is an adventure. You know, I depended on my late husband to do a lot of these things that I am now doing myself. And it's taking this approach and taking the approach that, I'm having trouble articulating this, having compassion for myself, that this human being who was inadvertently taught that money was more valuable than her.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and so there was no forgiveness for making mistakes with money.
Mm.
And so I already feel much freer than I did even a few months ago, that doing this practice with everything, including money, and doing the recording and listening. One of the things I've been doing at the advice of my awareness coach is recording, I don't have the exact words in my head, but something along the lines of, I love myself even when I,
uh-huh.
and whatever those things are, even when I beat up on myself about what I just did with $20 or $100 or whatever.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it takes the conditioned aspect out of it. The conditional aspect out of it. Right. So whether you're okay and whether you're lovable is not connected to these behaviors, which is really, really important. And talk about deep karma to try to wade through, because of course when we were little, that those two things were very much connected. You do the wrong thing, you're bad, you get punished, love is withdrawn. So that's a deep knot to be untying.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. one of the things that helps with this is something that you taught me several years ago, is that I am doing the best I can in this moment, in any moment.
Yes.
And so is everyone else.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we are. It doesn't always look like it, but that doesn't change the fact that we are. And the other thing about it, Nancy, is that it's how we learn, right? So we do something that is unskillful, and we learn, right? We don't pay attention until we run into something. And then we run into something, okay, I need to look at that.
Yeah. I had a very concrete example of that recently with, I just totally messed up on a financial transaction. No harm done, ultimately. It cost me a few bucks, but not like something like $6. Okay, I can live with that. But I just went around something entirely backward and misread a report and bounced a check for the first time in about 20 years.
And what a really relatively painless way to learn a lesson, huh?
Well, yeah. It's like, oh, that isn't the end of the world. I don't see pieces of sky on the ground.
I'll survive that $6 loss.
Exactly.
It sounds funny to people who don't see it this way, but, you know, you could just be so grateful that it wasn't $6,000.
Well, no kidding. And I've made a few more expensive mistakes than $6, though not that much.
Yeah. And so we learn. We learn to pay attention. We learn how it works. We learn not to be afraid. We learn to trust. To be open and pay attention and be smart. These are all good things. Mm-hmm. It, money, oh my God, the messed upness that we've got going about money. As I'm fond of pointing out, the only other subject that we're as messed up about is sex.
Yeah, well, that's another call.
We'll talk about that later. But where the karma and the conditioning is just so convoluted, and the fear that people get tied up in, it's just to take it one step at a time, just one idea, one belief, one assumption, one little trauma at a time, and just make our way through it, remembering that we're doing the best that we can do.
Yeah, you can't see me nodding my head, but I'm sitting here nodding my head.
I am too. We have that in common. Just like sit and grin and laugh and nod my head. I'm having a good time. Yeah. So good. I'm glad, and I'm glad you glad to hear you say my Zen awareness coach, because that's another one of those kind of practice supports that is just invaluable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I just re-upped for another, 6 weeks or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because I need to keep doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, people have their own experience, but someone was at a retreat this last year and was listening to the radio show and said, well, the whole thing sounded like an advertisement. Because we talk about email classes and coaches and all of these things. And, of course, the thing that the place that I always go back to is, yeah, it is an advertisement, but we're not selling anything.
Right.
The advertisement is for you can do these things for yourself and your life will be transformed. We want everybody to know that. And if people, get confused and think we're in it for the money, then they just need to look at the price tag on these things. And they begin to sense that, maybe there is something in it other than making money. So, it is definitely an advertisement. And I think I said this in the email class, if I could afford it, a bunch of this stuff would go on billboards all over the world, because it's just basic information that people need to have in order to have the life they want to have. And And that's possible for us. And if a person knows that, then you kind of want everybody else to know it too.
Oh, yes. I've had the billboard thought, too.
You have what?
I've had the billboard thought, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't it be fabulous to be able to just give everybody the message? The kind of money that is behind the messages that currently come out all over the world, cannot be competed with, but... golly gee, I wish we could.
Yeah, wouldn't you love a billboard that says there is nothing wrong with you?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, in every city, on every freeway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mhm. Oh, hey, speaking of sex and money, that book is being re-released for this holiday season. So, might keep an eye out for it. Coming out as a PDF. I think it's a downloadable thing. So,
oh, cool!
Support you on your way. Two of your favorite topics. They're in one book.
It's all a big adventure.
It is a big adventure, and we must not forget our sense of humor.
Oh, true.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Nancy. Take good care. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Sherry and Michael. Bye bye.
Good night.
Now.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. That was a fun conversation, Sherry.
Yeah.
Great. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just I feel like we're so fortunate to have all of these tools available to us. But 90% of them, they don't take anything except some attention.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
That's the only ingredient: some willingness, some attention, and we're off and running. We're on a fun-filled adventure with life.
Great, great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's awesome. And right now, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back with more callers.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Jodine.
Hi.
Hey, Jodine, how are you doing?
Hey. Well, I'm calling to check in because, as you remember, I called from a very dark place 2 weeks ago, a dark night kind of a place.
Understandable.
And sorry about that. And I just wanted people to know that there was a sorry about this. I just have to make a little bit of noise. Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Loud and clear.
Okay. About, 2 weeks ago after I called, after a couple of days, all of my husband's test results came in, and his doctors let us know that all indications are that his prostate cancer is confined to the prostate, and basically that means that it's very treatable. there are a number of different kinds of treatments that people might choose. And they basically told him that he has a number of months to, you know, find out about all that and make decisions, but, you know, not to delay treatment past, like, 6 months, but that there's every expectation that he will, you know, have a cure, a complete cure.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like basically in the two-week period between the bad news and then the next step, you know, we got the best answer that you can get, you know, after, you know, given that the biopsy is positive, you know, then we got, the bad news. Then we got the good news.
Mm-hmm. And you two needed some good news about that time.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to call with so much gratitude for this show and for this sangha. I listened to the call, you know, a couple of times since then, and I'm just reflecting on how much I don't know, just how much richer my life is because of practice and because of sangha. And I really felt like I had gotten to this point where I've sometimes talked about it as falling off the life raft. You know, I had pretty much gotten to the end of my ability to cope, you know, even though I'd never let go of my practice. You know, I was just in one of the, you know, darkest places that you ever want to be in. And I picked up the phone and called.
Yeah. Are you there?
So, yeah, I'm here. So thank you.
Well, and that's what, you know, that's what we always hope people will do. So, as you know, I usually say to people, take good care of yourself and stay in touch, right? Because those are the two best things we can do for ourselves, is to take the best care of ourselves that we can and stay in touch with our support system. And when it gets bad, of course, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, wants to use that as an opportunity to cut people off from their support system and isolate and cause people to feel alone and abandoned, and then the suffering turns into a hell state. So to pick up that phone and reach out like that, good for you.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm so glad I got through. I just wanted everybody to know that. And I'm calling from a remote, beautiful location in California where my husband and I are having a little 3-day holiday to rest and relax.
Very good. An excellent choice. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to both of you. I know you're both acutely aware, as you know, we are, that there's always much to be thankful for, and sometimes more than others.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Thanks so much.
All right. Yeah. All right. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You're listening to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Judith from far north coast California.
Well, hello, Judith. How are you
doing?
I
got back on. I'm doing great. I'm just exploding with insights and practicing and reflecting and listening and recording and listening and Zen awareness coaching and I'm having a time of my life.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
You've hopped aboard the Wake Up and End Suffering peace train.
Have I ever? I've entered the no suffering zone.
Aha.
And calling in once a month was going to be one of my commitments, and I couldn't get on last time, and this time it worked. So
good.
I'm thrilled.
Good. Good. So anything to report, or just that your love and practice?
Well, I'm just seeing conditioning's operation in much more detail than I ever did before.
Mm-hmm.
And I credit recording and listening and my mentor for that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it, to have, I mean, we've been so forever, I think for as long as probably as there have been human beings, the playing field has been so uneven, so unlevel, or however the everything was so stacked against us. You know, we're trying to get a little bit of light and a little bit of support, and that karmic conditioning and self-hate is just beating on us every chance it can get. And now the tables have turned. We have all the support we want.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's fabulous. It's happily ever after indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, one
yeah.
thing that's really caught my attention when you talked about improv.
Uh-huh.
And I've never experienced what the Sangha activity is around that, but I've always enjoyed amateur theatricals. And so I just have been doing it by myself. I figured if it was being done at an at-home retreat, that then it was possible for one person to do that.
Uh-huh.
And so I decided to be a scientist in the conditioning observation lab. And I put on my conditioning spotter goggles and picked up my Karma nippers and donned my white lab coat and observed an assumption and a belief that it had been feeding me for a long time that I hadn't questioned, and called in to my mentor on the – I like thinking of the recorder as a telephone where I call in my mentor.
Uh-huh.
And gave reports at certain times and documented it, and it was just so much fun. It made me laugh, and I saw a lot.
I love that. That is such a great disidentifying exercise, is it? I mean, when we...
Yeah.
Because, again, so karmic conditioning wants to keep us in the same old, same old, because that's the best way for us to be lulled into unconsciousness. So there you are. I mean, you put on your lab coat. I mean, you're already disidentified, or you couldn't put on your lab coat, right? But
right.
putting it on keeps you disidentified. And then every stage of it that you add to that, and the laughter, the lightness, the fun, karmic conditioning hates fun, hates it.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw so much in that process about how conditioning sets me up for depression at this time of year it values me not doing anything. Not having anything to do is set up as a desirable thing. And then, of course, not having anything to do is like one of the aspects
depressing.
Of depression.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The light went off. The light went on there, and I thought, oh, my God, of course it's trying to make that look like a good thing.
Uh-huh.
And then I notice it feeds me nostalgic images from the past when I was depressed, coincidentally.
Uh-huh.
And at this time of year, it starts, well, you've discussed this with other people too, is that it starts with a message that could be seen as positive, but quickly
mm-hmm.
turns sour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As soon as it's got your attention, it gets ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my. You know, what you're saying about the idealizing nothing to do, that's deadly, isn't it? And
it
we
is.
Have an entire culture that idealizes that. You know, live for the time when it's probably phrased, I'll be able to do whatever I want.
Uh-huh.
Which amounts to the same thing.
Different version of it.
Yeah, and having no idea that it is just a trap. Because, of course, I could do whatever I want right now if I wanted what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. So, no, as a matter of fact, I don't want to have nothing to do. I want to be doing what I love. And what I love is being present with life in the moment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So I'll let somebody else have a turn before the time's up, and really good to talk to you again.
Oh, great to hear your voice, Judith.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Judith. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're a couple minutes to the hour, and we've spoken with everyone who has called in.
See, all the others bailed out early, right? They said,
yes.
Okay, well, that's the end of it.
Yes.
See there? Well, all right. Then that's how it is, Michael. And that's, we shall accept it.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
Been great.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.